are so many things in life that you have to compromise, especially because of budget, the clothes you buy, the food you buy, and healthcare should not be one of those things. Check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to, and prioritize your health. I use ZocDoc. I have a bunch of health issues. For example, my feet randomly hurting so bad that I cannot walk anywhere. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/BCC and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/BCC. ZocDoc.com/BCC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the chain.
We're your hosts, Kendall Landreth and
Sarah Schauer.
And this is
the BCC Club.
And today we're going to be talking about BYU and Mormonism, and more like I wanted to focus on the interviews that happen at BYU and just a brief overview of what the culture is like there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And I got a lot to say. You know why? Because very connected to mommy vloggers, which
yes.
You know Kendall's a little freak for.
Yeah. And I was raised Southern Baptist, which is not Mormon, but it is extremist adjacent. So, Kendall, how was your week, Kendall?
Okay, let me tell you, Sarah. My dog got a haircut.
Uh-huh.
It's perfect. I'm obsessed with it. She's a long-haired chihuahua, so her hair is usually very long. I took her to a groomer.
Uh-huh.
They were like, how short do you want to go? I said, honestly, just as short as you can, because it's her summer cut, and her hair grows so fast. So I was like, it'll be a good starting point. I feel like I made a mistake because she's so cold now,
uh-huh.
And I feel so bad.
Yeah.
And so I keep putting these sweaters on her. She looks adorable. But I feel really guilty about it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like now she's cold and I think she's a little insecure.
Uh-huh.
Like she's not as loud and sassy as she usually is.
Yeah. Well, now she's wearing a bodycon dress.
Yeah.
Anyone's going to feel self-conscious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel a little bad.
Aw, well, she'll grow out her hair.
I hope so. How's your week?
Really good. I had a straight for pay stand-up show with Kara Connors, who's a hilarious comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Funny. I know, and I love them so much. And I'm going to a bunch of Pride events. I went to WeHo Pride last weekend, and it was so fun. I saw Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, my God.
I know. I feel like Carly Rae Jepsen is seriously underrated.
Oh, yeah.
Her music is so, perfect. Like, everyone on, what's that, site where they vote on, musicians?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, well, everyone thinks that her music is good. I think that she's just so Canadian that she hasn't exploded like all the other pop stars have.
Yeah.
You know, I think that she's I think she's totally underrated. But it was super fun, super hard being sober during Pride because a lot of LGBTQ events is surrounded around alcohol.
Yeah.
And I've kind of found a lot of solace and, comfort in stoners now.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I meet a gay stoner, I'm like, thank God, you know?
Yeah.
Because they, or anyone who's like, I don't like the taste of alcohol, I'm like, come here. Like, I want to, hang out with them. I wish, so you know how there's, hanky code for a lot of gay men? Where if you put, a red hanky in your back pocket, it means a certain thing?
Oh, yeah.
I wish there was, a hanky code for, sobriety without it making you look like a total dweeb. Sober across my shirt.
Yeah.
I wish there was something that someone could wear that indicates to me that they don't drink, just so I could talk to them or have the option of talking to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really more common now.
Yeah.
I think it's becoming more I think a lot of people are like, oh, I don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
Even people who aren't alcoholics, I think people are just more and more being like, why am I drinking alcohol?
Yeah.
It's so bad for me and it makes me sick. Why am I doing this?
I know. I just, and I don't mind people who drink, but I think people don't realize the just change in smell that happens to them around the fourth drink, where there was a hint and then it became it's almost like a cologne.
Yeah.
And so now I'm realizing, oh, I can honestly tell how much someone has drank.
Yeah.
So it's just
I do feel like it is odd to if you have smell a friend, just, I think it's weird when you come up to me and start smelling me a lot. Yeah. I do find, no,
Kendra's
I actually lie.
Been drinking.
I think, no, and I've of course drank in front of you before, but I do think is there's something odd about having a friend who is an alcoholic or who's sober.
Weird. Yeah.
And yeah, having that friend in general. No, I'm just kidding. Having a friend who's a recovering alcoholic and drinking a lot in front of them. I think it's weird. I think it feels a little inconsiderate.
Well, I don't.
I don't know what you think about that.
I don't want to control or influence anyone's life. I do have if I go out with people and I don't want them to drink a lot, I will ask them ahead of time, and it will be like a very sparing thing where like I'll alternate weeks I ask that, because I don't like, I know that they also want to have fun and I don't want them to feel like they have to. But like if we're going out specifically together, I don't mind if they have a couple drinks, but if they get wasted, that's where I get like sad, you know, because then that, I mean, I don't mind if they even, if functional alcoholics and like they're perfectly fine after five drinks somehow, like, actually I do get how you could do that. But like, you know, I just, I don't want to ask anyone to do anything for me. It is, I guess, offensive. The only thing that I find offensive genuinely is when I try to set a boundary and then people get mad at me like I'm a party pooper.
Yeah.
And the boundary is just, can you back up 2 feet? Because I don't, when people are really drunk, they don't realize how close they are.
Yeah.
And when someone's breathing directly in your face, it's almost like nauseating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you've, like anyone who's like gone to the gym or like gone to like a public building and you've like sprayed that hand sanitizer that's way too pungent.
Yeah.
And you know, like when it's in the morning, you're like, no.
Yeah.
Like that's what it feels like sometimes.
Yeah.
And so the only thing that offends me genuinely is when I set a boundary and I ask someone to back up and they're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I just say, and not that I'm like, oh, no one should ever be able to drink around alcohol. I just think sometimes you have to be a little aware. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's like, of course I've drank in front of you. Like, we did that show and I got drunk on that show because that was, we were no, like a drinking show. But if like I don't know. Like if I just would never go up to you and be like, I'm getting fucked up tonight. Yeah. Like that's like crazy to me. But I think a lot of people are very like, can get very defensive where they're like, well, it's not my choice. So I can do whatever I want. And like, but sometimes it's just like considerate. Like I think in alcohol feels like and obviously I probably shouldn't be speaking for this because I'm not an alcoholic, but like I feel like alcoholism is like a addiction that people like, I don't know. If I had a friend who had a gambling addiction, it would be insane if I was like, you should come to Vegas with me and gamble.
Yeah.
But like with alcoholics, it is normal to be like, hey, come out to a bar with me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it feels still kind of like that. And I struggled a lot with that because I went to therapy for a shopping addiction.
Yeah.
And I had a hard time because I felt like shopping was a addiction that is one of the only addictions that like you have to do. It's not something you can just cold turkey never shop again because you have to do it every week. Like buy groceries or like, there is a healthy way to, like, you can't go too far in the other direction because that's really bad, too. Like, you still should buy nice things for yourself and whatever. And so I had a really hard time with that. So I think if during the time that I was really, now it wouldn't be a problem, but at the time when I was really working through it, if I had friends who were always like, let's go just, like, fucking shop till we drop, girl, I would be like, this is tough for me.
I think the people I feel most closest with are people who struggle with eating disorders.
Yeah.
Because you can't, I mean, you said you couldn't avoid shopping. You kind of can, but eating you cannot avoid. And alcohol is everywhere, almost everywhere that food is.
But I mean, you can't avoid shopping in that, like, you have to buy groceries for yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I would go grocery shopping and then I would buy like way, like almost like, just like instead of getting one can of something, I'd get 8 cans of something.
Yeah.
And instead, and then it gets even worse if I then decide to go grocery shopping in Target.
Yeah.
And then I need to buy like, because I need to buy like face wash. But then instead of buying just face wash, I buy like 8 face masks and like 20 bath bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you have to like buy face wash. Because you don't have to.
No, you don't.
I find that you should wash your face.
As the straight man in your life, you don't have to.
Anyways, that's the only thing I mean by that.
But you make a good point. Speaking of people who cannot drink alcohol, this week's I tried your transition.
That was really good. Honestly, it hurts because it's so much better than any transit. My transitions are too much. Mine's like,
no, but I like the path you take us on.
Thank you so much.
It's very scenic. So we're going to talk about BYU, and I know BYU is not strictly of the internet, but we were so interested in those interviews you see on TikTok of like someone at BYU goes up to
from
a student.
The Black Menaces.
Yeah, and they're or the ones where they're like, "Do you think gay people should live?" And they're like,
no.
I mean, I respect them, but no.
Yeah.
So BYU is Brigham Young University. It's private research university in Provo, Utah, founded in 1875 by Brigham Young leader. It's sponsored by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the LDS Church. BYU is considered by some Latter-day Saints, as well as some university and church leaders, to be the Lord's University. This phrase is used in reference to the school's mission as an ambassador to the world of the Church of Jesus Christ. And then as of fall 2022, the school has 34,000 students. You know, a lot of them are church members, and church members are given lower tuition fees than those who are not members.
So a lot of people who go there,
yeah,
which I am coming to realize are very, some of them already like estranged from their parents, like aren't even a part of the Church of Latter-day Saints, but then still go because it's like super cheap to go.
Yeah. Which is crazy. I mean, because it is a private university. I know that on the, you got Bob Jones University and Liberty for the Christians, and those are private universities, and those are really expensive.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to me that, I mean, even a Latter-day Saint could get $3,152 per semester. I don't even know if that's like in-state versus.
What?
I know.
Whoa.
Like,
wow.
That, I feel like that has to be in-state, but yeah, undergraduate students are required to complete curriculum and LDS religious education for graduation, regardless of their course of study. So it doesn't matter if you're, what does boggle my mind is, I mean, unless you literally live in the area and that's the only university you can go to, I don't know why you would go there if you were not Mormon.
Maybe this is wrong. I don't think that's common.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think so many, it's mostly Mormons or people who live in Utah who are ex-Mormons.
Yeah, but I mean, I assume there's, I mean, I used to go to school in Norfolk, Virginia, and like that's in the middle of seven cities, and there's nicer cities in, everyone knows how commuter schools work, but like, I don't understand, like I would say that most of the people who go there have to be Mormon or people who just happen to live there. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's, I don't think there's a huge population of people coming from out of state who aren't Mormon.
Oh my gosh. You know, like how every college has like the international students?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if an international student got paired to go to BYU?
Damn. I always think about that because we had so many, like exchange students come to my high school. Like any high school has that. And I'm like, wow, what a mixed bag as an exchange, like a foreign exchange student to be like, I'm going to America.
Yeah.
But there's no, you don't get to, well, maybe you do, but it doesn't seem like you really get to pick where in America you go. So like, you could be in LA, you could be in like the middle of Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm like, thank you so much,
Sarah. Sorry.
That was a big one.
Sorry.
You could go, I mean, that's like two different, I mean, places. That feels so wild.
Oh, yeah. Like, it always, like, hurts. Like, I had, like, a international student in when I went to school in Beaufort, South Carolina, and their friend went to New York City, and I was like, that is sucks so much.
It sucks, and because my town, we had a lot of foreign exchange students, and they were like, my town was so small and so, it had a cool, I mean, it had, like, a gold mining history. It wasn't all bad or anything. It's beautiful there, but, I mean, if you like nature, it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know, there were some exchange students who were like, I'm going to America where the lights are big.
And
then they got Hollywood. Off the plane and were like, what the fuck is this?
That's,
And at some point, I'm like, was it even helpful to go to my small town?
No.
Like, is it that different than where you were from? Maybe not. Like, some of them were from, like, Paris. And I was like, why'd you leave Paris to come here? I don't know. But I don't think people are really coming to BYU that much who are not Mormon. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't understand at all why you would do it. Because it's like any religious university where like you don't have to be Mormon. But it's like when people are like, you don't have to have a car to live in LA. And you're like, yeah, but
it is advice.
You should.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard if you don't. And there's just going to be no, I mean, yeah, I guess I could go to BYU, but I would be surrounded by people who are homophobic and the teachers would be not teaching evolution. And I would be like, why am I here? This doesn't really make sense. But I do know, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you have to be part of the Latter-day Saints to teach at BYU.
That makes sense.
So I think it's not like if you're a student, I guess they'll take any money they can get. But if you're a professor, though, you have to be a Mormon. Hello. Hello, everyone. It's Kendall, and I'm so excited today to share with you that today's episode is sponsored by ZocDoc. I love ZocDoc. We know it to be true. There are so many things in life that you have to compromise, especially because of budget, the clothes you buy, the food you buy, and healthcare should not be one of those things. No matter your budget, you should always be getting good care when it comes to your health. Check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to, and prioritize your health. I use ZocDoc. I have a bunch of health issues, and it is so nice when a new one arises. For example, my feet randomly hurting so bad that I cannot walk anywhere. I don't know an orthopedic doctor, so it's great to go on ZocDoc and make sure that I'm finding one that has a bunch of really good reviews from people who have used them before. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/BCC and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/BCC. ZocDoc.com/BCC.
But what are some course examples, Kendall?
Family adaption and resiliency. Understanding family resiliency and building family strength is in normative traditions, birth, death, job, and non-normative traditions.
Transitions.
Divorce, what am I saying? Oh, traditions.
Yeah.
And non-normative transitions, divorce, disability, remarriage, poverty, violence. Developing familial, social, religious, and instrumental resources to adapt positively to these transitions.
I do like the idea of labeling birth, death, and a job as traditions. The tradition of being born.
And only Mormons do it. Only Mormons do it. There's also fathering. Would you like to talk about that?
It's quality fathering across cultures and in varied family circumstances. Historical changes in fathering, challenges to good fathering, and effective interventions with fathers. How to tell your dad he's a drunk in the Mormon church.
Oh, my God.
There is no mothering class listed.
Which is interesting. Because I'm like, I feel like Mormon moms are doing a lot more mothering than dads are doing fathering.
I feel like they're like, you should already know how to be a mom.
Yeah.
We have literally ingrained it in you since you were three.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And it really is true. They also talk about healthy sexuality and marriage. So they talk about how gay marriage is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Just kidding. I can only assume that is not pro me.
Yeah.
Strengthening marriage and family, Joseph Smith and restorations. I mean, this is once again, it's a Mormon college. It's all based in missionary preparation courses. It's for Mormons.
Wait, I want to touch on the healthy sexuality and marriage. There is one sentence that said students will be better able to facilitate health and growth in the families they work with as professionals and will be better prepared to navigate their own sexual feelings, thoughts, and behaviors in a way that is consistent with healthy relationship functioning and the doctrines of the gospel.
Can we take a little guess at what that means?
I think it means if you're going to masturbate, don't use your hands and wear some real tight jeans and then get on like a nice bench outside and rock back and forth on the seam of those jeans.
Well, do you know soaking?
Soaking. We're about to learn about soaking.
I'm obsessed with soaking. I'm not doing it.
I love soaking.
And you know what? Okay. So recently, this isn't in the research, so this is Kendall going rogue and probably enjoy correcting me because I probably am a little wrong on some of these facts. The Mormon Church has just announced that they're going to be a little less anti-gay. And I was getting into a conversation with a friend the other day about how this is frustrating to me, which is odd because you'd think I'd be very excited about that. But I think the LDS is so new, very new compared to other religions.
Yes.
And they choose what they believe. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like the people who are running the Mormon church are deciding what rules they're going to have as time goes on. And it's proven they continue to update. I mean, they didn't allow black people into the Mormon church until I don't know the exact date, but the 80s or early 90s. I mean, a horrifying date, way too late, very disturbing. And they just decided that. Like, they were like, right now we're having this discussion where we decide that black people shouldn't be allowed in the Mormon church. And then they continue to lose followers because it doesn't, a lot of it, I mean, the amount of kids who are raised Mormon that don't become, end up being Mormon is huge. So they struggle to continue to keep their religion alive, basically.
Yeah.
So they continue to change the rules because they need more people, basically.
Yeah.
You know? Anyways, so when they changed it to now being a little more pro-gay, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think now it's kind of like they're not pro-gay, but they're not anti, I gotta look at it. Something switched where they're a little less anti-gay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, to me, that's not exciting to me, because that means before it wasn't a real belief you had. It was just you truly choosing to be anti-gay out of hate. Not out of, well, we really believe this and this goes back thousands of years that our religion is anti-gay because of this. It was just like you picking that you decided to be anti-gay. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Because for Christians, in the fucking 30s or 40s, the 1930s or 40s, when they said man should not lie with another man, the actual translation originally was man shall not lie with like a boy.
Yeah.
And then they changed that and
really ran with it.
Yeah. And so like if you know that the doctrine can be changed, or like if the thing is in the Old Testament, you know, you can't eat fish or mix different textiles. If you can pick and choose which verses to take literally.
Right.
Then I'm not, cause I know Christianity and Mormonism are not the same. They are cousins.
Yeah.
First cousins. They're not close cousins, but they are cousins.
I mean, I think they have a lot of similarities, but I think it is like, once I realized that you can change things.
Yeah.
Well, why aren't you changing a million hateful rules that you have that are so ridiculous and oppressive? Oh, I wonder if it's because all your leaders are 80-year-old white men. I wonder if that has something to do with it, you know?
That'll do it.
That'll do it. Okay, anyway, sorry, that's a little tangent. Student life and culture. Almost all BYU students are members of the LDS Church or were members of the LDS Church. Students attending BYU agree to follow an honor code, which mandates behavior in the line with teachings of the church, such as academic honesty, adherence to dress and grooming standards, abstinence from
extramarital
sex, from same-sex romantic behavior, and from the consumption of alcohol and other drugs.
Yes, you can't be gay, have sex.
You can't have fraternities or sororities.
Gotta brush your hair.
No drugs, which, you know, most non-religious colleges really encourage drug use on campus.
That is actually, fraternities and sororities are prohibited by BYU. Yeah. So most on-campus student activities and clubs are organized by the BYU Student Service Association, the university's official student association.
Yeah.
Ooh. And the BYU Honor Code is just... at all times and in all things and in all places. It says, be honest, live a chaste and virtuous life, including abstaining from any sexual relations outside of marriage between a man and a woman. Respect others, including the avoidance of profane and vulgar language. What the fuck? Obey the law and follow campus policies. Abstain from alcohol beverages, tobacco, tea, coffee. I know that I've heard this before. Vaping and substance abuse. They all have like Diet Coke.
I know. Well, you want to know?
You and me, sister.
So I went to Utah on a trip because I love the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I literally was shocked when I found out that I'm obsessed with Utah. Like, I'm obsessed with Salt Lake City. I didn't go to, I didn't go to the outskirts of Utah, but I went to Salt Lake City, which is the gayest place I've ever been in my entire life. I think because every person who's gay from Utah moves to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
I've never seen more gay people in one place. I felt like I was at Pride. It was crazy. But so in Utah, they have drive-through soda restaurants or drive-through soda shops.
So drive-throughs?
Well, yeah, but they only sell soda.
Oh.
It's just for soda. Like, you can't, and they treat soda like coffee.
Yeah.
So you can go through, and my girlfriend is like a food, works in food stuff on the internet. And so they'd been invited to go to this soda shop. They were so nice there, XLDS.
Uh-huh.
And they let us try all of the stuff. But what they do is they take like Diet Coke or Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew, and they put like creamer in it like it's coffee. And they put like syrups in it like it's coffee. And I just think that's very fascinating. I think so much of, from what I know of like a lot of Mormon culture is like skirting around the Mormon laws.
That's what I was gonna say. If you know that the reason you can't drink coffee, it's not the coffee bean most likely. It is caffeine. And so like if
And there's caffeine in Coke.
And soda. Like I feel like, come on guys. Like it's like you can't, I mean I are as a former Christian, like, I know when something's like, okay, like the soaking thing, the Diet Coke thing, if you're just like barely getting around it, like, and if you're barely getting around something, do you feel like you have a clear conscience?
Well, because soaking especially, and I'm just going to explain it now because we're not there yet, but we're going to talk about it so much.
And you just want to get to
and
it.
And I can't stop thinking about it. No, when I found about soaking, I told every single person I knew about it. I was calling my mom being like, have you heard about soaking? Basically at BYU, and I'm sure many, many other places where there's a lot of shame around sex, instead of having sex, a guy and a girl will go into their room and they will stick the penis into the vagina and that's it. And they'll have a friend jump on the bed or shake the bed so that it becomes penetrative sex, but without them doing it. So it's like them being like, well, I didn't move the bed. That was just like happening. And my penis just fell into this person's vagina, basically. Which is crazy because that's the kinkiest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, I would not be comfortable having a friend do that with me and my partner present. Like, that is so intimate. I'm like, that's kinky. That's like really kinky. But I am always like, so to me, that tells me you think your God or whoever you are praising, you think they're stupid.
Yeah.
Is like, you're basically trying to.
You think God is up in heaven, like, it doesn't count.
Right. And so to me, I'm like, you don't actually care about your relationship with God. This is all just a show, which is what I found a lot with the Christian churches in the Bible Belt.
Oh, yeah.
My dad was like heavily in the Bible Belt. Alabama church life, was at church like 6 days a week. And so much of it had nothing to do with God. It was all just about the church culture and like people, I mean, 8 out of 10 people were having affairs, were cheating, were getting abortions, were, I mean, anything you can, all addicted to drugs, do it, whatever. And it, they didn't care. It was just the finding out, the church finding out was like the no-no.
Yeah.
And not even like the pastor, just the people at the church. We can't, I mean, there would be people who got, like, broke up with their wife but wouldn't get a divorce and would go to church and pretend they were still together so the church didn't find out. And I'm like, so you don't believe in God, or you don't care, or you believe in God but you don't really care what he thinks and you don't really care about going to hell and you don't really care about any of this. You don't believe any of this. You just care about the hierarchy of this group, which then that becomes a cult to me.
To reiterate my Christianity point, a lot of people go to church in any sort of way because they know that they can ask God for forgiveness and they are forgiven. They don't actually have to take accountability. The reason why people in Christianity specifically skirt around just barely, but they have affairs, but they the affair is cheating, so that's actually a sin. Like, it's because you would have to hold yourself accountable. You would have to go to the elders of the church and hold yourself accountable. With just barely skirting around these things, there's plausible deniability. In the, if God is real, he is, or she is not a fucking idiot. Right. Soaking is, if you believe soaking is a sin, or if you do these things, if you believe they are a sin, God's gonna be like, when you get to heaven, it's like, this was wrong, you know?
Right.
I'm like, it's, yes,
well, it's
like exactly.
People who be like, I didn't have sex till marriage, but I did everything else.
No, yeah.
And I'm like, what do you think? God is up there with like a sheet of paper and he decided, he was like, okay, this is gonna count, but like, this doesn't count. Like, you can give as many blowjobs as you want, like, to be clear. Like, you can even do guy on guy blowjobs. Like, I don't even care. It's just the penetrative sex. Like, that to me is like really too much. Like, what do you think your God is saying? Like, that's crazy.
The basis of so many mental illnesses is shame and avoiding shame. And Christianity and its all its iterations is, you should be ashamed because you're a human. And so if you're constantly avoiding shame, you will come up with these convoluted lies that you tell yourself that, oh no, this is not actually a sin. It's because this minor change would make it a sin. And so it's you just avoiding shame. You're emotionally unintelligent. Let's go back to marriage.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They love to get married.
I know.
But it's like, okay, one more thing. I'm going to speed through this. But I think there's a lot of Christian YouTubers.
Yes. YouTubers.
YouTubers. Yes. And Mormon. There's a huge amount. And the Mormon church encourages people to post online. I mean, that's like the whole, I mean, they're not Mormons, but I'm watching the documentary Shiny Happy People right now.
Yes.
Well, I finish it. Let's be real. Finish it immediately.
I've never seen it, but should I?
it's incredible. I mean, it's not incredible is the wrong word. It's about the Duggars and their religion and how it's kind of like a sect of religion that's not really basically a cult.
Yeah.
And it's very bad and very harmful and abusive. It's very scary. And so, and it's a couple of the kids from the Duggars are in the documentary and they talk about their experience. It's very interesting. But anyways, they encourage people of that religion to be active on social media, be very, you know, be vloggers, film their kids,
preach
do all
the
of these things. And it, that is, from what I know, completely against what would be, like, everything that is being a YouTuber, I could go down, like, the sins and be like, it hits every one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, gluttony and greed. You know what I mean? Like, so much of how these, like, the LeBrant fam, for example.
Yeah.
So rich. Exploits their children on the internet. And they will do these ways to skirt around these things. For example, they always are posting these videos that is showing how much money they give to people.
Yeah.
And, oh, look, we're going door to door in this really bad neighborhood and giving all of these people rent money.
Yeah.
That's not, and I'm maybe wording this wrong, but that's like not what you're supposed to do.
No.
But then they say, we're doing this to share with you.
Uh-huh.
As if you people in the world didn't know that you could give your money away. We're doing this to spread awareness that, that we want to share with you and maybe inspire you to go door to door and give everyone rent money. Because I'm sure all the 8-year-olds watching us can afford to give like hundreds of thousands of dollars away to random people they don't know. We're doing this to show that. Not we're doing this because we're going to make triple the money on this video that we give away in this video. We're not doing this to make ourselves look good. We're not doing this to showcase how much money we have, because that is not Christian. Like, that's not something God would like. And they think God, I don't really believe in God, but they, in their heads, they think God doesn't know that. Like, they think they can fool God. And to me, that would be the most, that would be, I know all sins are created equal, but if you think you're in a religion where you think you're smarter than God, that would be the worst of the worst sin you could do.
I think the only thing, no, they don't, the thing is they don't believe that God believes them. They are ashamed. Like, they are, like, they know that it's, a lot of people who are, like, awful people still know that they're doing something wrong, but they have pushed it down to a point where, like, they just don't look at it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, and I think a lot of people who are low emotional intelligence or have a lot of internalized shame latch on to one lie, one technicality, and then every other thing that you could be like, but this doesn't make sense, this doesn't make sense, they latch onto that. So what they could say is, we are preaching the gospel and the Bible says to spread the good word. This is no longer about Mormons specifically. Like, if you are just pursuing and you're saying that my mission is to preach the gospel, like, you are sinning. You are greedy. You are lying about how much you tithe, probably. Like, you, there is no good faith. And they, deep down, if you cornered them and held, and you said, if you do not admit out loud, like, just admit out loud that you know what you're doing is wrong, and you really put the fear of the God that they don't really believe in them, they will admit it out loud.
Yeah.
You have to be like, they'd have to be truly mentally adrift, and that's another situation. Yes.
Yeah. Man.
But we're going to
talk. Marriage.
Marriage.
A beautiful thing. They love their kids getting married.
The thing is, okay, wait, I also want to clarify this. We are talking about BYU. We were focused on the people saying that gay people are not real people. And we're Mormonism, we know that there are great Christians and great Mormons in the world. We just want to also clarify that. And we know that not all of them are, like, refusing to take accountability and deeply ashamed. There are a lot of people who use it to, they, because they believe and they want to have a better life. So I want to validate that in you. Like, not all religions are bogus. Like, if I believe in God or not, that doesn't matter. Like, I just want to say this in case you're like, because I mean, it is, we are also on the outside of Mormonism. I used to be a Christian, but again, like we said, they're not the same. But I just want to validate you if you're like, I feel very secure in my faith, but I do understand what you are saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think, like, I'm very young, and I think that I've had, like, a, you know, I used to be in Bible
study,
Bible school, and I did at very young. I did Bible school, and I was very into a Bible youth group, and I was obsessed with it. I loved it. I didn't really care about God at the time. I just really liked the community of people. I don't know how I could do that now, because they were all The leaders were very homophobic, but I enjoyed going. We did fun camping trips and I liked whatever. So I was into that. I think I'm still very young now. And I think in 20 years, if you asked me, I could totally have a religion. Yes. I definitely could have a relationship with God. Like, I think it's just something. So I'm not like anyone who believes in God.
Yeah.
Thumbs down for me. I'm like, that's me. I totally understand that. And I think that okay, I'm going to say 90% of religions are based in a really beautiful core that I would probably agree with. Like, when I really research most religions, and I were to do it the way that I think is true, it would be something that I think is very positive. So I think there's a ton of Christians who do that, and that's great. So I don't,
Oh, yeah. I am.
But there's a lot of them that don't.
Yes. My belief is that there is no God, but there is an expanse of consciousness. Like, I can't say exactly what has happened, but I know that we don't just go to sleep. I understand, like, I don't really care what happens after we die, because I don't care what happens before I was born. I will care, I will be sad if I haven't accomplished the things I want to on Earth, but I'm not worried about the afterlife.
Yeah.
Because there is no way, to me personally, that God has created the universe and is able to build, like, stars and cares if I put my fingers in someone's vagina. Yeah. There is no way that he is that granular, that micromanaging, that is indicative of someone who is a micromanager if you believe that that's happening. You're projecting your own beliefs onto an all-powerful being. But yes, marriage. Overall, students at Brigham Young University are urged often by church leaders and school leaders to wed. The Daily Universe, the student-run newspaper at BYU, publishes a bridal guide each summer. The course selection at BYU reflects an emphasis on marriage. And, you know, according to a study done by BYU professors, students at BYU feel marriage is a high priority. 95% of BYU students rank marrying in the temple as a very important goal. Okay, so we were just talking about Mormonism. I want to move to, and we also did talk about sex and soaking. And then
we got to the important parts.
Well, I mean, we're just analyzing Mormonism, and I do want us to get into the actual content creation. But at alcohol, you know, the alcohol, you know, it's the number one stone cold sober school. Honestly, that sounds like someplace I would not mind going for that regard. I would not go because they're homophobic, but I do appreciate what you guys have going on there. And they are very into censorship, and they are not really friendly to anyone of a different race or
sexuality.
They may disagree with you, but I think if they are inclusive, it is very new and very, very, just very
new.
Well,
and it's very from the ground up. It's very, here's these two gay students now run a gay club.
Yeah. It's just them as a couple.
They're a huge couple. It's like eight of them. They're all dating.
Can you stop with your club? It's like, we're just dating.
Yeah, they keep thinking it's a club.
Yeah.
That's very funny. But I don't, it's not something that the teachers or professors are like, hey guys, don't forget, it's Thursday, so head on down to the cafeteria for the Gay Straight Alliance Club. Yeah. That's not happening.
What I think is kind of funny is how 95% of the students consider marriage important, and then they would probably see any gay adjacent person, and they're like, you're rubbing it in our face. It's like, that's the clearest example of projection.
Yeah.
You know, like, it is important to you, but like, it's not, like, it's just, they're wearing chacos. They're not a lesbian.
Oh my God. Well, that's what I found funny. So they have in these videos online, the account I follow is called the Black Menaces.
Yeah.
I'll double check. That's what it's called. But they are a group of people, and they go around and ask people questions at BYU. And they will be like, what do you believe in gay marriage? And they are, I swear to God, talking to a person that has never dressed gayer in their life. Like, because they're wearing like Bermuda shorts, probably because it's like
they have
more
a wolf
modest.
Cut.
Yeah, fully. I mean, carrying like their little Nalgene water bottle. Like, I just the gayest person.
They're like
wearing
actively
tacos.
Sniffing their fingers. Yeah. And they're like, hey, do you believe in gay marriage? And they're like,
no. And they are.
No.
And they're like, no, I'm straight. I'm like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Then honestly, and I know this is offensive to say, dress straighter. Why are you dressing like that? Dress more like a woman then.
Well, the granola crowd is very confusing.
Oh, well, that's how it, when I was at my youth group,
yeah,
it was the most, I think it was very confusing to my tiny liberal brain. Like my parents yeah. were liberal and I grew up pretty liberal. And there would be these people, these women who were like, you know, dressed like a lesbian
yeah.
and they were riding in a Subaru
yes.
and they had like, I just couldn't believe, and they were like going on hikes and yeah. jumping off waterfalls and making all their food from scratch.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, I hate. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so confusing. Why are you dressed like that then? Put on a dress.
Yeah.
Braid your hair. What is wrong with you?
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's the granola. The hiking girls always confuse the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
But I mean, or this, oh, this, always the straight people on the soccer team. Like, I'm just like, what are you, liar?
Well,
whatever.
It's like anything. If you get too conservative, you loop right back down to liberal. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's like, we saw a lot in the 2016 election, a lot of like anti-vaxxer yeah. liberals who like lived off the land.
Yeah.
Becoming best friends with like these truly. I mean, the most conservative person you know, deeply racist,
oh, yeah.
deeply like anti-gay besties, burning masks together in yeah. a cauldron. And you're like, what is, how are you connecting? Yeah. Okay. The Black Menaces, who I follow on TikTok and adore. In 2022, a group of Black students from the university went viral on social media platform TikTok for asking questions related to race, gender, sexuality, and politics to other students on campus. This group calls themselves the Black Menaces, and it seems that they popularized the Tiny Mic interviews on BYU campus, because I think there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. There's yeah. a lot of Tiny Mics.
There's a lot of Tiny Mics yeah. on the BYU campus. Since launching in February 2022, the Black Menaces have taken on a person on the street format where the students Rachel Weaver, Nathaniel Beard, I'm so sorry if I'm pronouncing any of these wrong, Kylie Shepherd, Sebastian Stewart Johnson, and Kenethia Dorsey film themselves going up to BYU students and asking them questions ranging from how they feel about Black people entering the priesthood to their thoughts on gay students being able to openly date on campus. This account has racked up more than 700,000 followers and even inspired parody videos. The Black Menaces came after Brad Wilcox, a BYU professor and Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints leader, told a congregation that church members often ask him why Black men weren't allowed in the priesthood for over 150 years.
So he said, maybe instead of why the Black people had to wait until 1978 to get the priesthood, we should be asking why did the whites and other races have to wait until 1829? That is a logical fallacy if I've ever heard one. He's saying, well, okay, why did they have to wait until 1829? Because when did Mormonism start? You know, that's like saying, why did Americans have to wait until 1776 to be considered Americans? I don't know, because that's when America didn't exist. I mean, it did exist. Ask any Native American listening to this right now. Actually, any Native person. They probably don't even claim American. But like, it's like, that's when it started. So that's why they had to wait. That is the manipulation, if I've ever heard it, you know?
Yeah, it's insane.
That is,
It's also just like, oh, it's such a, like, man, devil's advocate thing. When it's yeah. like, well, maybe instead of the thing you just brought up, why aren't we talking about this other thing? And it's like, I don't know, because that's not what I fucking brought up.
Yeah, if you're, if, it's so, manipulators, it's so easy to gaslight one person. But if you're about to go on record, you need a lie so, like, you don't need a fun turn of phrase. You need a lie that is backed up by Republican insanity. So people don't question it because of fear of backlash. Like, you can't have a fun turn of...
But the thing is, the people he's talking to are other LDS... It's like, he doesn't need... He knows I don't like him. He's not trying to win me into the Mormon yeah. church. I'm not going to be in the Mormon church. And so it doesn't really matter what he says. All they have to do is answer the question. And once it's answered... It's answered, and guess what? Nobody in the fucking church cares. I mean, there are people, I'm sure, who care and are, like, questioning things, of course. But the majority of people who are, like, following him on Instagram, because all the Mormons we follow and all the... they only follow the Mormon leaders on Instagram. It's wild yeah. when you go to who they follow. It's just, like, a list of white men. But they just need them to be okay with that answer. And all of those people don't really care when black people were allowed in the Mormon church. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the answer to the question, he doesn't really have to think too hard about it because he's only trying to impress other people who agree with him.
Yeah. And
I don't know.
99% of the people who go to BYU are white. And white people, if you haven't unpacked your whiteness, you're not going to question some surface level answer like that. But we're going to go into Tiny Mike street interviews because they have a lot of man on the street. This is what we wanted to focus on, man on the street interviews. They were adopted by late night shows for comic segments, you know, like Billy Eichner's Billy on the Street. Tiny Mike interviews are very popular. They did have like Billy on the Street, but we're going to talk about some BYU Christian University influencers. Some of them do go to, I wanted to talk about like BYU influencers slash like people who go to Liberty and like what their predominant like social content is based around. Mm-hmm. Because to put the homophobia all on BYU students would be a complete lie. Like the homophobia is Liberty, Bob Jones, like any sort of private. Yeah. It's just kind of like crazy how in this day and age, you know, like racism is bad.
Yeah.
And how it, but, and so how you cannot recognize, oh, my parents were racist, like was on record in the 50s, 60s being racist. Why would I go on record and be homophobic and think, oh, in 50 years, I'm going to look like a great guy?
Yeah.
You know, like how out of your mind you have to be. But some of these people, I'm not saying that they're homophobic or racist. I'm saying that these are influencers, if you'd like to talk about them.
And
wait, you should go to, you should talk about the BYU girl, actually. Let's do the day in the I'm gonna say them. So there's not necessarily a BYU influencer, but she attended BYU and posts popular story times about her experiences there. Her name is Macy Cinelley, and she does mostly lifestyle content, you know, featuring kids and her husband. Like you said, I feel like there are a lot of family influencers.
They're encouraged because it's like promoting, it's promotion. It's like why the Duggars, obviously this is different religion, but why the Duggars were so encouraged to have that show.
Yeah.
I mean, what about having a TLC show is of God? Do you know what I mean? Like there's, I mean, you could just make a list of reasons why that is something you shouldn't do, but it's so encouraged because it promotes it so much.
Yeah, it does. And then if you want to talk about the day in my life at BYU, these students are not like the people who are being homophobic. We just wanted to touch on some BYU influencers.
Ellie Walbrush.
Mm-hmm. She's a D1 athlete.
Well, there you go. She's a soccer player, right?
That's I'm not saying that. I don't know if she's a Mormon, but I'm saying sports is another thing where I could see someone who is not a Mormon
attending BYU.
Attending
BYU team?
Maybe.
Okay. Heroes 55. Yeah, it's Chris, BYU Hawaii student. Oh, that's interesting. So it's not just BYU in Utah?
Yeah, there's BYU Hawaii.
I didn't know that. Okay, attending class, he does homework, going to devotion, visiting the beach. M. Dizzle, BYU student attending class. It just shows their whole day.
Yeah.
That one Mormon girl, she's clearly a BYU student. And Sarah B. Sheridan. And also, I'll add one, Sherry Frankie, daughter of 8 passengers.
Oh, yeah.
She vlogs going to BYU.
I just like, so I mean, the Black Menace is what we wanted to talk about, but
go check them out.
You should really go check them out because they talk about different social issues. I think it's like the whiteness, the influences of like religion. You don't really have to take yourself accountable, and you have the privilege of being white, so you don't really even understand intersectionality. Like it's going to be a long road for a lot of these people to understand. Hell, I'm still working on it.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I mean, I think it's truly so. I mean, because there's a lot of people on the street. That's what you call it.
Yes,
on the street type people on the street.
People outside.
People outside on the street. Content that I do enjoy and intake. I mean. But I don't find it to be necessarily helpful. Like, there's a lot of people who, like, I'm a liberal guy and go to a Trump rally.
Yeah.
And I basically, you know, make fun of Trumpers. And I love watching that. I'll watch 50 hours of that and just watch people who vote for Trump not know what they're talking about. And I know they have it the other way. I know there's Trump supporters who go to liberal rallies and make them look stupid. I do watch that. I don't think it's, like, beneficial. I think it's just a form of content. I think the Black Menaces, this shouldn't be their job or something that they have to do. I'm not saying that this is up to them to do, but I do think you watch in their videos, them truly make people think about something for the first time in their entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think a lot of these people at BYU are villains because they're so young. I mean, they've been being raised in such an intense church life. There's a lot to unpack. Like,
oh, yeah.
You have years of growth you have to do. You have so much. I don't think you're necessarily, if you're 18 at BYU and are like, I hate gay people,
uh-huh.
I don't necessarily think you're a villain. I think in 3 years you could be like, I'm gay. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I think it's just so, there's so much you have to relearn when you've grown up. Some of them homeschooled their entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Only being taught Mormon curriculum that, like, isn't real math or science. Learning things in a textbook. My girlfriend and I were talking about this because we're watching the documentary about the Duggars. And they have textbooks with just flat-out fake information that's
yeah.
just talking about, you know, why dinosaurs aren't real. But if you're a kid and you're reading that in a textbook, why would you ever think that's not real? So
yeah.
you have so much relearning to do if you're that age. But so I think having a group of Black people
mm-hmm.
come up to a person who, let's face it, probably has hardly spent any time around non-white people in
yeah.
their life, and just being asked, like, a question as simple as, like, do you know who, I don't know, any famous, a person that we all should know
yeah.
that's Black is? And then being like, wow, I thought of myself as an educated person, and I can't name, I don't know who this person is. I can't name a single person who's Black that I like in the media. I think it does have a big effect on those people, I hope.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting to watch. It's one of the only, like, men on the street interviews that I'm like, oh, that, like, I can see these, some of them. Some of them are idiots, but
yeah.
I can see some of their, you know, brains turning and being like, whoa, I'm shocked I didn't know the answer to that.
Yeah. No, exactly. I think there's a lot of man on the street interviews that, like, really piss me off. And that sounds like it would be helpful, like, to truly make someone think about something other than Mormonism or being white for the first time in their life.
Not that, once again, they should have to do that. It's not their job,
yeah.
but it is, like, it's interesting to watch people be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Even, like,
I do actually, now
sorry.
I want to make a podcast episode about Tiny Mike interviews, because you know what type of Tiny Mike interview pisses me off?
Mm.
Is when they interview dads and they're like, when is your son's birthday?
Ooh, and
they're
the kid's
like,
right there.
And they're like, geez, oh, the mom usually knows this. And I'm like, you rat bastard, get
yeah.
off of Hollywood Boulevard and talk to your boy.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I mean, even like, some of the people, your poor carpal tunnel. This is. I'm
I keep
sorry.
Picking up this. No. It's not. It's just I pointed too hard and now it hurts.
I even like there's one. I can't remember what it was, but they were asking students, and you can tell these students think they're smart because
yeah.
a lot of them. I mean, they're not smart, but a lot of them are like, grew up in such a structured life that they were like straight A students.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them. They didn't get to do things that were fun. So they're just like, I'm a smart school. I do school. That's my
yeah.
thing that I do. And then you're asking them a question about, like, Brigham Young.
Yeah.
And being like, do you know this fact that is very, you should know this fact?
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, I don't even know anything about the very problematic person who started my school.
Yeah.
I think it just makes people think. And I have seen one guy, a teacher, that was interviewed by the Black Menaces,
yeah.
like, requested to be interviewed again and did this interview where he was like, I'm really sorry. I felt so embarrassed by how uneducated I was. And I went and I did a lot of, I mean, this is like a 50-year-old guy. And he's
yeah.
like, I went to the library and I did a lot of research on this thing. And I just wanted to, like, I guess show that, which is
yeah.
kind of annoying. But, like, I wanted to come and just tell you that I'm really sorry about that. And I was
yeah.
like, oh, that's very interesting.
Do you want to know something really cute to
what?
Wrap this up? Naomi tutors saxophone now.
That's
and
so cool.
One of their students is a 50-year-old man.
Oh,
and he's just like, I just want to learn something later on in life. And I was
that.
Like, that is so adorable.
I didn't know that Naomi played saxophone.
Naomi is a, like, a
really
classically
good.
Trained, like, they are play alto sax and they also are like a producer. They went to like all these, they went to USC for fucking music and environmental engineering. They are smart. But we actually have someone who goes to BYU in the studio
Ooh.
Today. So Kendall's going to get to interview them and I am going to go outside and just pray for the first time in a couple years about what? We'll find out.
We'll find out. I
yeah.
can't wait. I'm very excited. I have a lot of questions.
We will see you guys in a bit.
All right. Bye. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. We are here with a very special guest. This is Margaret Hamm. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm really good.
And you're a student at BYU.
Yes, I am.
How long have you been going there?
For about 3 years now.
Oh, so you're about to graduate pretty soon.
Yeah, in a year.
Oh my goodness, how exciting. Oh, you got the giggles?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, you just look like a granola girl.
I look like I'm a lesbian.
Oh, stop.
A little scary. You didn't know it was going to be a scary show.
I know, I'm scared now.
Horror show. So, I gotta ask, I'm pretty sure I know the answer. Are you Mormon?
No, I'm
Oh, whoa, that surprises me. I'm sorry.
I was their diversity. I'm a Southern Baptist. They needed some diversity, so they went after the white Southern Baptist.
You were the diversity?
Yes, yes.
Did you get a diversity scholarship?
Yeah, they even put me on the front cover of the BYU magazine.
Oh, my.
They had to label it Southern Baptist, so everyone knew why I was there.
Oh, my God. That's so interesting. Okay, why did you choose to go to BYU?
Because I got arrested at Liberty, and I'm no longer allowed to.
What happened?
I kind of set some things on fire. In a fit of rage, I have been known to snap. So BYU is not affiliated with the Southern Baptist Church, so they took me because they didn't really do too much research on me.
Oh my.
Yeah.
That honestly is pretty, you are a pretty diverse student, actually.
I know, I'm a felon. They don't know that.
Wow.
They don't know that. Thank God police don't really communicate across state lines.
I mean, this podcast is public. Oh. A lot of people listen to it.
Oh, can you blur my face? No, that's not necessary. People from BYU don't watch this because it's lesbians.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I went. Oh, I'm crazy there. Oh God.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Do you need anything?
No.
Do you need to hold hands?
No, that would be worse. I'll hold my own.
Wow, I feel like I could just poke at you for hours.
Yeah.
What would you consider to be the most unusual class you've taken at BYU?
Probably fathering.
You took that? I don't know if that class is for you.
Well, there was stepfathering and fathering, and stepfathering was really interesting. It's how to be a good stepfather to wives, which I don't even know how that works out, because it's like, aren't you just the father at that point? I don't know.
Why are you shaking?
Yeah, I'm scared. I also just...
What, are you scared of me?
You look like...
Because I'm gay?
Who are you?
I'm gay.
Oh.
I've had sex. Lesbian sex.
I mean, I've...
You've had lesbian sex?
No. I have done some stuff in the back door.
In the back door?
To avoid breaking my hymen. I have a really big, thick hymen. So if I wanted to have sex, I couldn't. It's so tough. Some people say it looks like cowhide. It's actually really... You need a lot of force to penetrate it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So you've tried?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. All right. Do you feel any pressure to convert?
No, yeah, all the time. My roommate kind of just reads at me the Mormon Bible all day.
Yeah.
It's actually really hard to tell that she's reading the Mormon Bible because it's so similar to the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm like, which one, what version is this?
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Do you connect with it at all?
No, I just kind of zone out. It's a skill I learned in prison.
All right.
Yeah, dissociate.
I can't really imagine you in prison.
I was in isolation for a lot.
Do you have a prison wife?
No.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I don't.
I can tell from that giggle you did have a prison wife.
No, we were sisters.
I thought Orange is the New Black.
No, I've never seen it.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you
ask
have.
My questions. I'm scared. I'm scared.
Are you planning on getting a ring by spring?
I have some rings.
Well, are they any engagement rings?
No, boys are kind of weird at BYU.
Oh, and everywhere else because you maybe have... A crush on some girls?
No.
I think. Look, no, I want you to tell me if you're gay. You can tell me. You can tell me if you're gay.
I'll lose my scholarship.
Why? You'd be more diverse.
That's not the good diverse.
Yeah, I'm sure that is probably true. Do you have a boyfriend?
I don't. I have a boyfriend. His name is Andrith.
All right. So that was a lie, and I can tell because
Wendell Andrith.
Okay. That's my name, but with a couple changes.
Your name is, what is it?
I think you know.
I don't know.
Kendall Andrith.
Well, that's crazy because my boyfriend's name is Wendell Andrith, and he's blonde, and he has blue eyes.
Oh, that's different for me.
And he has ears and
all right.
A penis.
All right. So... Have you ever been to a party at BYU?
I have.
I knew you were going to say you had.
There was no alcohol there, only ketamine.
You did some.
Because it's not an illegal drug. It's just meant for horses. And so the feeling of ketamine is, it's kind of like what I've told is being drunk. But mm-hmm. I did some. And we looked at pictures of cigarettes because we couldn't smoke them. But we got real high.
And you like horses, don't you?
I love horses.
Yeah, I can tell that from a mile away.
I love using mane and tail. I've never cut my hair before.
Oh, wow. You have beautiful hair.
Yeah, it goes down my knees.
Well, tell me, can I ask you something personal?
Shoot.
I like that.
Okay.
Shoot.
What's up?
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of out of my shell.
You're flirting.
No, Wendell.
Have you ever soaked?
Smoked?
Soaked. Okay, your voice got so deep when you said smoked. Are you doing a fake voice?
No. I have never soaked, but I have helped people soak.
You bounce on the bed.
I'm actually the go-to soak assistant. A super soaker, they call me. Oh. I have beneath this big sweater, I have incredible forearms and biceps. Because I can shake a mattress. Yeah.
Wow, you've seen some things.
Yeah, I felt some things too.
Oh.
Yeah, because the soaking, they put up a sheet between them, but there's nothing really blocking me off from getting any splash, so I kind of just...
Splash?
I know.
My, oh my.
I know.
That's
all over
graphic. Wow.
All over me.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
Now, I have one final question. Is there any experience at BYU you'd like to share with me? I want you to be honest. Is this a safe place?
My roommate, Meredith, looks like you a little bit.
Oh.
And she has very short hair, which is going against God, but they gave her a wig. And when she doesn't wear it at home, and she's in her tank top, sometimes we like to wrestle. And I will get on the floor, and I'll show her what I learned in prison. And sometimes she goes for my leather hymen, but it never breaks. And so we've never done anything.
Because she doesn't have biceps like you.
No, she doesn't. And sometimes our lips brush.
Kiss.
No, when we're wrestling. And sometimes our holes touch.
So you scissor each other.
No. Not all the front holes.
That's honestly worse. That's worse.
Because I'll drop a contact, and so will she, and then we'll pull our pants off, and we'll, Velma, and like feel around for the contacts, and we back into each other, buttholes first.
Okay. Wow. Well, she's a lucky lady.
She's just my friend.
I'm sure. And I have to say, you sound exactly like the gingerbread man from Shrek.
I have
been told that.
Yeah, Gigi. Oh,
sorry.
I also grew up on Gingerbread Lane, and that's why I'm so Southern Baptist.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on here and being so vulnerable, coming out to us as gay.
I'm not gay, Meredith. I'm not gay, Meredith.
Oh, was that a little wink?
No.
Oh. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for watching. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
I cannot wait to see where you are in 3 years' time.
Oh, probably a different university.
Oh.
They're going to watch this.
All right. Well, have a great day. Do you have a way to get home back to BYU?
I rode a horse here.
Oh, good. Okay. Mm. All right, good. Well, thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for being here. And I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day. Well, thank you so much for watching. That was an incredible interview to be a part of. I'm sorry that you missed it. It was fascinating.
Oh, no. I was talking to God, and he actually is very specific. So he is a micromanager, and I was completely wrong, so I do
apologize.
And he
likes soaking.
Yeah, he does.
Loves to
He's
soak.
Like, all right, you got me there.
He was holding a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. But make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube. Make sure to follow us and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Spotify, any place you get
your podcast.
Truly. And we will, if you guys have anything to say, you go to BYU and you're like, it is some BYS. I don't know. I'm sorry. let us know in the comments below.
Incredible. If it's any BYS, let us know.
Yes. All right.
Thank you guys so much for watching.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy
Hump Day.
Wednesday.
Bye. Finding a doctor is truly the hardest thing on planet Earth, which is so unfortunate because when you're feeling really sick, the last thing you want to do is talk to an old man who has no idea what you're going through and doesn't understand anything about medical stuff or science and just tells you to drink more water. That is just the worst feeling ever. And that's why I use ZocDoc. If you listen to this podcast, you know I'm obsessed with ZocDoc. It's the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/BCC and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/BCC. ZocDoc.com/BCC.